Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the System Safety and Operations Committee meeting of November 17th, 2011. May we have the roll call, please?
Director Rizzo? Director Fasano? Director Nabi?
Here.
Here. Have a quorum. Let's move to item 37, Transit Operations.
Good afternoon. For start, customer complaints for the month of September were at 3.33, an increase, slight increase over August. Year to date, we're at 2.9%, representing about a 9% decrease since FY09. We've been working real hard on improving this metric. The assignment ratio increased to 1.204 over August, basically right the target we've been trying to work towards. The similar measure for rail, it increased slightly from August. I'd make the note that we're still preparing for the expo opening, so we have a lot of training, selection and training in process, both operators and other personnel. Basically on target with a budget for fare revenues, September year-to-date actual, slightly less than the year-to-date budget.
Okay. Now, when I arrived, we were having 1,000 episodes a week.
September average weekday boardings increased, representing an increase over August by 8%. As we expected, when I briefed last time, we had predicted this ridership would come back up. Schools are back in session. Summer vacations are over. And ridership did go back up. Slightly different story for rail. Average weekday boardings for slight decrease over August, but year over year actually a slight increase. For the month of September, on-time performance it's the lowest we've had the last few months, and again a decrease from August. We continue focusing, however, on what we can directly control, and that's buses running hot. And for the month, that's down to 3.7%. This provides an historical perspective. When viewed over the recent history, performance since FY06 is up 13%, up to, again, over 77%. A good news story also on cleanliness. The goal has been 8%. We had a number of divisions falling short of that. We've reallocated resources, continued focusing on improving cleanliness. And again, it says cleanliness, but that also involves some material condition measures, also looking at 19 different factors.
Okay. Does that include the actual, not just the vehicles? Stops as well. And
this is just on the vehicles inside and outside. We're starting, I haven't reported on it yet. I think I might have mentioned it once. We're developing a similar metric for stations, and we've started some initial reviews on that, but don't have enough data yet to truly make that a continuing report. But we'll add that to the report as we get a little more data.
Okay, because we were, I think a month ago or so, we looked at some of the station conditions. I think that was mainly the rail stations, and I think the board pretty much unanimously expressed the desire to fix some of those conditions and try and prevent them from occurring.
Particularly on rail, we've done a pretty good job over the years of building and cutting ribbons and then not paying attention, frankly, on what needs to be done to keep them clean and well-maintained. We have a long-term effort to get those back to where they should be. Some of those overheads have not been cleaned in 10 years.
Thank you.
Accidents per 100,000 hub miles decreased slightly this month to a 3.5. And year-to-date, they're at 3.48. We haven't made a lot of progress, but still There's not been significant increase when you go back and look over the last several years.
We need to stretch that graph maybe a little bit so it's not so compressed. I know we were just talking about a few factors and percentage, but it was hard, to see a slight increase there.
Mean miles between mechanical failures for the month up slightly, 3652 over August, and continues an increase over the past couple years. Year-to-date improved 14% from FY09. And I wanted to say a little bit about a couple things involving the tunnels. The board approved this project, as indicated. What's not indicated there is this involves 8,000 light fixtures. It's going to take us a while to get this done. The slide says 5 years. I don't know if that's a good estimate. It's making some assumption about the condition scheduling in particular, but we have a big job in front of us to address that. The other one I wanted to mention, the chair had asked about rail tunnel cleanliness. And we've had a number of issues to consider in scheduling this, and we've also taken a look at acquiring some labor-saving equipment, but have not actually embarked upon the acquisition. We've had some grinding work to do on the rails, and the grinding obviously provides additional debris. We completed the grinding that was scheduled this month, and we're looking at a trial washing in the segment close to Union Station in the middle of December.
With regard to the lighting, when I attended the APDEC convention, there were quite a few vendors with the LED technology, and they were not all consistent. Some were appeared to be a little more advanced than others. So when we what stage are we at? It says we're finalizing the procurement.
The solicitation goes on the street, I believe, in December.
Okay.
We had a it may end up being different technical requirement, but we did do a pilot project at Division 10 across the street, the bus division. A significant improvement in a lot of things involving having LEDs installed. We're pretty excited about that test.
Mr. Fasano.
Why 5 years?
Just the time to try to schedule work and install 8,000 fixtures. I don't know that it's going to be 5 years. That's just the estimate right now. It does.
Thank you.
We'll be working to try to improve that.
So next report, let's see if we can sharpen that up a bit.
Sure.
Thanks.
Subject to any questions, that completes my presentation.
Any questions? I have a member from the audience wishing to speak. Mr. Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Let's just compress what he just said. Accident rate, no progress. Mechanical failures, no progress. Complaints, up. On-time performance, down. Bus boardings, up. Rail boardings, down. Now, he had an excuse for everything, and so did O.J. Simpson. He had an excuse. He cut his hand on this and everything. He was innocent. Conrad Murray had an excuse for everything. He was innocent. We see trends. And then what is your reaction to this response? To increase the trains to Hollywood at night. I live a block away from the Hollywood Vine Station. One stabbing. Hollywood and Western, Halloween, two stabbings. That's three stabbings with no nobody been in any way arraigned for this. We don't know who did it. And I'm telling you now, all the gangs are coming to Hollywood and they're stabbing us. Including the Armenian gang, too. Armenian power. You know them. Not just the minorities. White gang.
I've never heard of that organization. Nor have I ever been a member previously or currently. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Are there any questions from the board before we excuse Mr. Mitchell? Okay, this is a receive and file with no objection. we will accept this report. Next item, item 38, is a report on the L.A. Metro Protective Services.
Good afternoon, Commander Jordan with the Sheriff's Department. I have detectives flying to Ohio right now to extradite the suspect of the stabbing for November 1st, so we got that guy and he's on his way back. So hopefully we'll be booking him into the LA County Jail System tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Captain. Good work.
I just wanted to go ahead, Mike. Go over just a brief thing on the crime trends and some things that we like to measure every month. As you can see, we're on a downward trend for crime in comparison to last year. We're in the mid-1200s for Part 1 crimes, and we're on pace for 1151 for this year if we maintain the same percentages throughout the year. Next slide. This is arrests. Last calendar year, we made approximately 10,000 arrests. We're already at that number for this year, so we're on pace for about 12,000 arrests. This is our citation. We had a little uptick in citations. That could be just us catching up on some of our data entry as well. But we maintain a pretty good range throughout the year, and we're on pace to meet and exceed last year's production. Next slide. This is response times. Sometimes you have a good month. As you can see in all categories, response times are coming down. I think that's more about positioning of our resources than anything else. Next slide. I wanted to do a review of our started auditing a couple years ago, and so I took the last five audits and I asked for an analysis of those. This is the latest audit of FAIR. Now, we do the audits really to basically to audit our own staff to make sure as they check fares and give tickets, are we really coming up with the fare evasion rate that we'd like? Now, this particular audit shows an evasion rate for uniformed audit of a little over 5% and plainclothes, which is usually done on the train, of a little bit over 6%, which is higher than what we've seen over the last four audits. So I'm not sure why it's high at this point. We need to continue to audit and try and analyze that. We did add a feature to this. We started checking tap cards as well, and what we check is what's the rate of usage of tap cards of the people that we check and what's the rate of whether they tap or not. And you can see in the uniform one, we had 67% saturation rate in our audit, people using tap cards, and a little over 12% are not tapping on the uniform one. And in the plainclothes, which are generally done on the trains, 61% are utilizing the tap cards, and 10% of them are not tapping. Not tapping is still considered misuse of fare meeting. Most of them are paying for their fare. They're just not tapping. Next slide, Mike. We wanted to measure misuse of fare meeting, basically TAP, because we wanted to see if the public awareness campaign and our enforcement efforts and warning efforts are having an impact. You see a big spike here. We've only done this the last three audits. Part of this is because it could be where we do our audits, but also the saturation rate of the TAP card increases, and now you've got to train a whole group of new people on tapping and those type of things. What I see here is even though saturation rate is going up, more people are tapping. So the latest one showed 10% of the folks did not tap. So that means the vast majority are.
Why would it be considered a misuse even though they're paying for it?
Well, there's regulations for how they're supposed to use the tap cards, and you need to use the fare media that in that fashion. So it's considered misuse. We don't cite for it if they've paid. We do cite for it if they obviously haven't paid and haven't tapped. So we just give a warning at this point. Next slide. Now, this one, we've been doing several audits. You see this big spike up. This represents the first three audits. It was tap cards and paper passes that we were tracking, and that shows the evasion rate. When you take out the tap cards in April and you just look at what's going on with the paper fare media, in the second two audits, it shows that we have a higher evasion rate amongst our paper users than our tap card users. Okay, next slide. Now, this one's kind of unusual. This is a mix of both the misuse of tap cards and fare evasion. Remember, our job is to get them to conform to both paying fare and using the fare media appropriately. The big spike on the red line is consistent with the spike on the orange line in terms of not tapping. That's why you have those big spikes. And, of course, those are coming down. The saturation of the tap cards in later months started to increase on the green line and blue line. That's what we've noticed. And, of course, so now we have to do a little more education program on those lines to bring the misuse of fair meeting or to get the people to tap on those lines.
Started or seems consistent during the summer on all your, that your issues are spiking come there, during the summer.
Part of it is they're spiking because we're introduced, more people are using the tap card, so the misuse is there. That's what we're seeing. And the big spikes are really about the misuse of fair meeting, which is more of an education thing and not really an enforcement thing. And next slide, I think that's it. Any questions?
Yes. Can you go back one slide, please? The fair evasion graphics with the different lines. Can you...
The multicolor one.
Can we get a better... Yeah, that's the one. Can we get a better understanding as to actually what's going on there? I mean, are these relevant statistics?
This is both fair evasion. So what we do is we do a controlled environment. We'll either saturate a station and we'll check everybody coming and going out of that station, or we'll do everybody on a particular segment of your line. So we'll count the number of people we check, and we'll analyze how many have evaded fare and how many have paid fare, meaning they have valid, they've paid for their trip, but they haven't tapped. Because we're trying to focus on capturing the people that aren't paying fare and warning the people that aren't tapping. This represents
both
combined together as a graph.
Mr. Fasana.
Yeah, I can't say I've used it in the last few weeks, maybe even a month, but it seems to me that I didn't recall always getting consistent feedback on the wood tap as a user, and I would think if you're not getting consistent user in terms of what you should be seeing, that could really lead to a decrease in tapping as well. So I guess my question is it the tapping, is it the red light or the flashing green light, or what is the feedback that people are supposed to be getting? Is that well understood when they tap?
Yeah, I think what I've gotten as feedback is the signage isn't always clear, although I've been out on the lines to see more signage than I used to see. I don't believe the red light encourages them to tap. It really is people talking to them and telling them what their obligations are consistently.
But when you do that, I mean, isn't the machine supposed to flash a red light? Or
it does flash red light, but usually they're a couple, they're already moving past it if they don't tap, they don't see it. So it's... That's actually supposed to be a tool for us to use when we stand off and watch the red light flash. It helps us to identify who we want to contact.
Mr. Leahy.
Yeah, Commander, obviously the data point here for July on the red line is very, very much an outlier as compared to the previous and following months. So it could be that is in error because it's so much inconsistent, or it could be that the previous and month following are, in fact, in error. How do we validate or determine which of those is the case?
Well, the problem with some of the data, that's why we're looking at it a long haul, and as we add more audits where we're checking misuse of fair media, hopefully this will flatten out. It depends on where you're doing your audit at, what time of day you're doing your audit. So a lot of these gets factored in. So you can't really look at one audit. You need to look at them all. So this here I see is you have a greater usage of tap media and increasing numbers on the red line, and a lot of those folks weren't tapping, which caused that spike. As education programs increased, you see it coming down, or that could be one factor, or the other reason it could be coming down is we just did a different station where there's a higher level of compliance and tapping.
Let's talk some more later on.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to get to continue to be as accurate as possible because, as you know, these figures drive a lot of the discussion regarding the use of gates, both the opponents and the proponents. So I think the best we can do is get as accurate and consistent information so we can still argue about it.
Yeah, I'm open to recommendations on how we collect the data and what you guys are looking for in the future, too. So we're adjusting what we collect for our purposes.
Thank you. If there are no questions from the board at this point, I have a request to speak from John Walsh.
Notice what the commander said. He said, arrests, number of arrests up, crime rate down. Yeah, that's cause and effect. But the criminals know it's not locked. So that's, and now they know about it in Ohio. It's become a national phenomenon. The fact that somebody was arrested in Ohio 2 weeks later, and incidentally, we had an arrest in the Vine Street killing, but we had no indictment. An arrest does not mean an indictment. Arrest does not mean guilty. It means somebody was arrested, and then there'll be a they'll be placated, and then nothing will happen when it goes to the when it goes to the DA, and there'll be no trial. It's very dangerous to take this system. It's out of control. And you ask the question, what's the harm in not tapping? You're an invisible rider. You're not entered into the statistics. It's as if you didn't take it. So you have to add that to the ridership.
Thank you. If there are no other comments from the board, and without objection, we will receive the report from the commander. Thank you. Next item is a withdrawal of the Citizens Advisory Council update. Is that correct? That's
you have item 52.
39.
52 is next.
52 is next. I don't have an item 52.
It's just an oral update on health service monitoring was added.
Okay. Okay, let's go to item 52, which is an oral update on Metro Bus Service Monitoring Program.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is John Hilmer. I am Director of Metro Service Councils, and it's been my pleasure to have been able to work with our five regional councils for the past 20 months. Today I'll be reporting on an update for the mayor's motion, which in August, dealing with customer-oriented integrated bus service enhancement and innovations, and my element would be number five. During the past 20 months, I've been able to report to the Metro Service Council several measures of bus service quality. This relates to both the system average as well as the average of the bus routes that operate predominantly within each of our regions. This includes on-time performance, our customer complaint rate, bus reliability, bus cleanliness ratings, and accident rates. We will be expanding those measures based upon the motion that passed in August. We'll be looking at things such as bus service levels versus ridership. We presently schedule our bus service for up to 130% of a seated load at the peak load point of a bus line. So we will now be monitoring the approximately 40,000 individual bus trips that we provide each month to determine at the line level, the regional level, and system level the percentage of those trips that operate with no standees, those that have some standees, and those percentage of trips that are over the 1.3 loading standard. Keep in mind that loading standard of 1.3 is what we schedule up to. It's a relatively low standard compared to other major transit properties such as New York, Chicago, and San Francisco, which typically schedule up to 150% of a seated load during the rush hours. In addition, we'll be monitoring the service quality based on our mystery rider program for such things as ADA compliance, operator courtesy, and safety measures. We will be adding some new elements to this, one of which would be the bus station cleanliness evaluations. We will be targeting up to 20 of our major bus stations. We have volunteers from our service councils as well as Metro staff that will team up in pairs and will be assigned a station to evaluate on a monthly basis for cleanliness and the reliability of the equipment, including the escalators and elevators. Also, we will be adding and enhancing our surveys. Presently, we do an annual passenger survey where we collect approximately 15,000 completed surveys once a year. We will now be adding three additional surveys for quarterly. These will be slightly smaller, quite a bit smaller in terms of 2,000 completed surveys, but they will add additional questions to that, which will include our customer wait time at the bus stop, how long it took them to get to the bus stop, the cleanliness of the bus stop, and as well as the bus, and their perception of safety at the bus stop and so forth. Also, finally, we will be reporting back on a monthly basis to our service councils on these expanded measures, as well as the board staff. We provide a board staff briefing every month. And we will come back to the committee on a quarterly basis beginning in February, when we should have our first round of quarterly customer surveys completed, and we will provide you with some of those trend measures on those other factors. And with that, that ends my update.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Hilmer? So this is then is going to be ongoing.
That's correct.
Now on a quarterly basis, you're going to continue with these surveys and these inspections and these load factors and update us in that manner.
Yeah, and many of these will be collected on a monthly basis, report back to the service of the service quality back to the board on a quarterly basis.
All right. Thank you. Public comment request, Mr. Walsh.
Now, I remember coming here 5-10 years ago when the Bus Riders Union always used the term transit racism. They don't say that anymore under pressure from the mayor. So I'm the only one who talks about transit racism, our organization. But the buses are not clean. As far as these ridership surveys, is there anybody up here who has read the last year, the latest annual bus rider survey? No, nobody has written, and they're on the operations committee. It's terrible. We're treated like trash because back in New York, wealthy people take the buses. Go on the Fifth Avenue bus line. Here, where it's only minorities or people like me, and I represent about 5 or 6%, you're treated, it's transit racism. Because all you want is your spiffy little rail stations. But don't worry, when it comes to transit racism, the Bus Riders Union will keep their mouths shut.
Well, I'm happy we're going to be getting those reports and disseminating them to the public and hearing their comments from both the Bus Riders Union and Mr. Walsh and anyone else who would like to highlight any of the findings. So we're not afraid of criticism on this board. And this is a receive and file with no comments from the no further comments from the board, and with no objection, we will receive Mr. Hilmer's report. Thank you. Now, do we have a is 39 on or it's off?
Off.
39 is off. Okay. Which will take us then to item 40, Transit Court.
Good morning. I'm Karen Gorman here with Dwayne Martin to talk to you this morning about the status of the Metro Transit Court. We've completed quite a few things concerning the Transit Court. The space is completed. The space consists of an outside reception area and a administrative area where a person checks in, three hearing rooms, and in an internal seating lobby area. I'll show you a picture of that in just a second. We have all our computers, our taping equipment. We have a loudspeaker system so that the hearing officer can call a person into the hearing when they're in the hearing room from the inner or outer lobbies. We have a payment kiosk, so if people want to pay with cash or credit card, they can do that here. And we have security cameras and even a panic button, which we hope never to have to use for the hearing officers. I'll show you a picture of what some of these things look like. The reception area up on the left shows where the person comes into the windows. They check in. They indicate the time that their hearing is set. There's a TV camera where we can scroll people's hearing times when they're set to move into the hearing area. Below is the waiting area where they can sit until their hearing is called. And on the right is the kiosk that you would use to make a cash payment if you need to do that. people will also have all other forms of payment available to them. There's a computer there that people can either use to make an online credit card payment, or if the computer is not being used for that purpose at the moment, a person will be able to take their transit school tutorial from that computer if they don't otherwise have a computer available to them. Some more pictures of what this looks like. It's on the bottom. You see we have three hearing rooms. It's not just like a courtroom where you have everybody sitting listening to everybody else's hearings, waiting for their turn to come up, only one hearing being done at a time, which is inefficient. We've set up three small hearing rooms where a person can go in and have their hearing taken care of individually, and there's a window so you can see in. It's a bright area, and the hearing officer can call them to come into their hearing. The other pictures you'll see there is the back room, which can be used as a hearing room, but we're also using it as a training and meeting room where we can put on the in-person transit school, and there's some lockers for the hearing officers who come in where they can put their code and their briefcase and so forth in the secure spot when they're in their hearing rooms. And we have in front of these three hearing rooms, there's a lobby area, an inner lobby area where people can sit and wait for their name to be called. We have 10 part-time and as-needed hearing officers to call upon who've been trained. We have two administrative staff to process the citations. We have a vendor now who's on board who can process the citations with a paperless environment. We, in the past, we've been very paper intensive, and so we're moving away from that with this new vendor. We've got an MOU in place with the county, and I thank the Board of Supervisors for that. The legislation that we're working under here involves the money flowing through the county back to us, so we needed an MOU to be put in place for Metro to be able to receive our funds that we're collecting. So, again, thank you to the Board of Supervisors and their staff for making that happen. We have standard operating procedures written up for both the hearing officers and the administrative folks. We are just about complete with the online transit school. We have a vendor who's creating that right now, and it's well underway. And we've already begun conducting our parking citation hearings in September. Those have been going quite well using the facility. We've also conducted reconsideration hearings in November, and so we're well on our way to completing that. The next phase we'd be entering into would be to make a amendment to the customer code so that we could begin issuing our citations in a non-criminal notice of violation for fare evasion and a few other low-level matters like eating, drinking, smoking, roller skating. Other matters would continue to be criminal. Minor matters would, for minors, people under 18, would continue to be criminal because the statute doesn't allow for us to take those, so those continue to go to Superior Court. What we'd be doing with this amendment to our administrative code is to be issuing the civil citations instead of criminal. We'd be then having a fine associated with those citations. In addition to that, the sheriffs would be authorized to reject persons who were not in compliance with our rules concerning fare evasion or whatever is the violation until they're in compliance. If a person repeatedly keeps violating our rules, like keep entering the system day after day after day with not paying for fare or other kinds of violations, they would eventually be asked to be excluded from the system. We would advise them that for some period they're suspended basically from the system because they've had so many violations and they're just not complying. If somebody fails to comply with that suspension notice, then they could be arrested for trespass as a last resort. But it's hopeful that one doesn't get to that point with any person. There would be plenty of due process in place for the person receiving these citations and notices of exclusion to be heard and explain what happened and have it adjudicated with some hearing officers who are independent. And people can also have the transit school to reduce their fines if they say that they, you know, they know they violated and they need to pay, but they'd like a reduction, so they can attend our transit school, and we'll be having that available to them. And of course, in all this process, the sheriff continues to have their discretion as to whether or not they give warnings or not to people in appropriate circumstances. This would be applicable as to we'd be giving parking citations in transit court, reconsideration hearings is being done in that space, and the fare evasion and other kinds of citations would continue to occur. There's all the different methods of payment that would be available to a person to pay their citations. The inside of the hearing room looks like this larger picture here where the person is seated in a small area. There's a window and computer monitor for them to look at their citation and speak to the hearing officer. The hearing officer, you'll notice, has a back door from which they can leave for their safety. And so that's what that looks like. And the next steps that we need to take is to submit to the board a administrative code to amend to effectuate these matters. And then once you do that, we would produce our ticket stock to begin issuing these sorts of tickets. We already have the customer code flyers created, and we would distribute those, and those are posted online. We complete our fine schedule, and enforcement personnel would be properly advised. So what I would ask your indulgence on today is that since we did not have available yet the amended customer code to bring to the committee today wasn't available a month ago when the deadline is to submit our written board reports, if I could bring that written board report to the full board in the next 2 weeks when that happens, then I would ask your permission to do that. Then we could move forward in December to complete these steps and be ready to proceed in January. If I don't do that, if I bring the customer code to the next committee meeting, that won't happen until January, and then we can't be up and running until March 1st, and just because we're not having a full December committee and board meeting. So if I could get your permission to bring that to the full board this next month, then I would do that, sir.
I understand you've mentioned to several of the committee members, and no objection from Director Kanabe, and whatever he says is okay with me. So,
very good, sir.
So please bring it forward.
Is that on tape?
I've got it on tape.
We would like to definitely move forward with this as soon as possible, not lose another month in the process. So that's fine.
Very good, sir. I really do appreciate all the board's support with that we've had on this, and my coworkers, Dwayne Martin, and all his staff, the sheriff, and the legal department, everybody who's contributed as a team to this effort, and even many of the board deputies have been very helpful to us in moving forward. So thank you all very much.
And I would like to compliment you on this project. It's a big deal setting up a new court system with many different components to it. So I appreciate your hard work on that, and I do have a few questions that I have. So this is everything below misdemeanor.
Well,
even not infractions. You say these are just civil citations that were issued.
The civil citations would only apply to fare evasion, smoking, eating, drinking, and skateboarding, and I think spitting.
Yeah,
everything else would continue to be criminal. So it would only apply to these low-level matters. All matters concerning minors would continue to be criminal. All these other more serious matters would continue to be criminal. Things like weapons, that sort of thing. Anything of violence that still is obviously criminal, and all of those would stay criminal. So it's really just decriminalizing fare evasion and a couple of other minor, like eating, drinking, smoking. Everything else continues to be criminal.
And so we're applying our code of conduct as the ordinances that we're following. Do we need special legislation for that?
No, sir, just your approval, which is why I was asking to bring this forward for your approval at the full board meeting. If the board approves the ordinance, then it's completed.
Okay, very good. Are there any comments from the board?
So I retired, put your card in.
And is this will this be self-sufficient?
We certainly think so. The revenues that we bring in should, we hope, equal or exceed the amount that the administrators and the hearing officers will cost the agency. Going by the experience in San Francisco, they found where they've had ups and downs with their administrative process, they've actually brought in more revenue through the civil process than they have through the criminal. So, in that, you know, using their experience as a guide, we certainly anticipate that.
And the money aside, it's our intention to make this a more friendly, an easier way for the riders to adjudicate their issues rather than previously ending up in one of the superior courts.
Yes, sir.
Around the
unclog the courts, too.
Helps unclog the courts.
Yes, we've had a lot of discussions with the courts recently about this. We discussed other alternatives with them, and they were not in the favor of these other alternatives because, for one thing, they've told us that they're intending to shut down probably 8 courtrooms next year and let go 1,000 people. And they're looking to get rid of their low-level cases to be administrative matters and relieve the courts to handle some more of the hefty, you know, murders, burglaries, serious matters to help them unburden them to be better service to the community under the financial circumstances that they're all facing. So,
well, except that they're combined courts now, so they really can't push it down. So, I mean, they're all...
Well, right now they're receiving about 140,000 citation matters to process.
Oh, you see it on Monday morning, Metro, downtown court.
And we'll be processing those through this process instead of them. So it will greatly unburden them, we believe.
Okay. I have a card from John Walsh.
You tried this a few years ago. The Bus Riders Union spoke. Remember, this is bus and rail. Now they're quiet about it because Antonio's putting pressure on them. Because and if they get up and say anything, then Antonio will cut their funding. He has a way of doing that through Connie Rice. Look, this is, I can't believe, we're going to have bulletproof glass between the accused of spitting and the Lord High Executioner. I'm telling you, this is America. You cannot ban me from the subway. You can arrest me for something I do. You cannot ban me. This is not Armenia when the Soviet Union ran it, where they could do any damn thing they wanted. You cannot. And I'm telling you, it's all racist. I'll give you $1 to your favorite charity for every white person who goes into this court if you give me 0.5 cent for every minority. This is minority court. And we're talking about banning people. It's out of control, and it will lose money.
We do not have bulletproof glass, but thanks for the recommendation.
You've got glass.
Well, my doctor's office has glass, and but I appreciate the point is to make it as customer friendly as possible.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to, you know, we want this to be be a happy place for the riders to go because they're going to be paying some money. But
it got turned off. If you look at the photo here, you'll see that the person is much more personal, up close interaction to be able to speak to somebody, much less intimidating than a really large court with a judge in a robe who's, you know, 20 feet from you. The window's open. Okay. The window's open, so.
Good. Thank you. So we'll await your code of conduct in the next week or so.
Thank you, sir.
If there are no other comments from the board, we will accept this report. And we'll hear it at the full board.
Thank you, sir.
December 15th?
Whatever date the full board is for November. And December.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
The next item, I'm proposing that we bundle item 41 with item 44 and 46.
How about 42?
42... the reason I left off 42 is because it's professional service.
I'll move the other
so we have a 41, 44 and 46. These are procurements for uniforms,
I have to,
paper.
I just looked at a 44, it says here.
Yes.
Well,
okay. Well, then let's take
41
and 46 with a second. Any objections? Okay, 41 and 46 are passed. 44. We don't have enough to do that.
We vote this here.
Conflict.
Oh, he has a conflict, so he can't do it.
Oh, so there's two conflicts on
mm-hmm.
it.
44 is
forwarded. Is that enough for us to go forward on that?
Forward to the full board.
Well, you just board
to the full board. Okay. Okay, so 44 will be forwarded to the full board, noting the conflicts. Okay. 42. Okay.
So
there are two. Okay. Noting the conflicts, we will forward 42 onto the full board as well. Okay, the next item is 43.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And item number 43, we're asking the board to authorize the CEO to award a five-year firm fixed unit rate contract with Mobility Advancement Group, the lowest and priced and highest rated proposer for the Mystery Rider program. The Mystery Rider program involves assigning contractors' employees to observe and report on bus service performance on all Metro lines. This program has proved highly effective in monitoring service quality and compliance with ADA and safety procedures. The contractor conducts 200 rides per month along with 20 special rides as designated by management, for which we may ask for a specific performance issue that has been reported. An example of a special ride would be a complaint that an operator maybe had passed up a passenger using a wheelchair, and we would ask a mystery rider who uses a wheelchair to go out and ride that operator's line. The reports are submitted online and sent to the division manager for action as appropriate. When rides are clean or there are no violations observed, the operator receives a commendation. And, of course, if there is an issue or a problem, the manager takes appropriate action, either a warning or training or disciplinary action as warranted by the report. I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Do we have a set of standards, performance standards, a certain number of vehicles that they'll be monitoring?
Well, they do 200 rides a month that we identify for them, and it's so they cover all the lines eventually.
Okay. Very good. Are there any cards from the public on this?
Yeah.
No.
Item 43.
Hold back.
Any discussion from the board? Second by Director Kanabe. With no objection, item 43 is approved. Next item. Item 45.
We need 45 to be passed.
45, can we...
Conan, make it real quick because we're going to lose
a director here shortly.
So just give a 60-second summary, please.
Okay. Basically, this report is to formalize minimum standards of performances for all modes of service that we provide. And really, it relates to standards for service characteristics like passenger loading, headways, on-time performance, stop spacing, accessibility, passenger amenities, and vehicle assignment. And that concludes my presentation.
And no changes in the system will flow from this. This is just simply codifying our practice.
Correct. Yeah.
Part of this from lessons learned and from the passenger survey, or what are the significant changes?
There's no significant changes. What we do is we have informal guidelines that we currently follow through the transit service policy, and this is merely to codify those.
Are there any cards on this? Sun Young Yang?
Good afternoon, committee. Sun Young Yang from the Bus Riders Union. We're urging this committee to actually reject this update proposal and actually amend it. We have a very serious civil rights concerns with the standards that are trying that you guys are trying to codify. In particular, there is a strong reversal of the standards that were set during the federal consent decree, especially to remedy a lot of the civil rights and disparate impacts that these standards, unequal standards that are being put on bus versus rail, especially on the rapid headways. The special master had actually put that there are 10-minute peak headways on rapid and 20-minute off-peak headways on the rapid, and now you guys are increasing it to 20-minute and 30-minute headways. That is a complete reversal of the consent decree, and not only that, it defeats the purpose of rapid buses. The other issue is around the unequal standard of longer headways on buses, up to 60 minutes, versus rail service that's getting 10 to 12-minute peak headways. So we urge you to really analyze the unequal standard and the disparate impact analysis that this is going to have on thousands of bus riders that you guys are already being investigated for or being compliance reviewed for. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions from the committee? Mr. Fasano.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'll move approval of the item. I recognize the standards may change over time, but we should codify what our practices are.
Second by Director Kanabe. With no objections, we're going to pass this item. Next item, please. Item 47.
Let me make a preliminary comment here, Dwayne.
Okay.
Right now we have a bus control center, radio center in this building. Rail is down at Imperial on the Green Line, Blue Line intersection. We have to expand the rail system. That provides an opportunity to consolidate the two systems into one facility, which is especially beneficial given the expansion and integration of buses with trains. It is critically important that we do this during times of emergency, such as earthquakes, civil disturbances, Olympics, rail openings, and the like. So with that, Dwayne, could you please make your report?
Sure. Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll try and make this brief. In fiscal year 11, Metro staff submitted an investment justification application under Prop 1B to California Transit Security Grant Program, California Transit Association, to secure funding to construct the Emergency Operations Center that would include a new bus and rail operations center. The grant timing couldn't be better because the availability of the funding and the need for this project, as Mr. Leahy just outlined, that needs safety and security concerns and meets gives us a perfect opportunity to move this project forward without depending solely on capital monies. With the reorganization of Metro right now that's prioritizing operations and operations command center that houses our BOC, our ROC, and our EOC will optimize our organization's communications, our resources, our emergency responses, as well as our overall efficiencies. So I'm asking the board or the committee to approve the preliminary life of project budget for the new capital project in the amount of $16,103,000 and amend this fiscal year 12 budget to the cost center 2610 for system security and law enforcement in the amount of $10 million to allow Metro to perform environmental assessments, land acquisitions, and initial conceptual designs.
Do I have any cards on this item?
No.
Any comments or questions from the board? I'm sorry? Handle, thank you. With a motion and a second, we're going to handle the business and pass this item.
Thank you.
With no objection. Thank you. Next item is 48. Board on this. Sir Mitchell?
This was a motion from last month's board meeting, and the direction was to bring it back to operations for the newly titled System Safety and Operations Committee for consideration. In anticipation of the committee advising us to go forward with this, we've already started meeting on this item and enthusiastically support doing the items that have to, taking the actions that have to be taken to make this a reality. We're working on a board box right now on the second of six items, and we'll follow that with the information requested over the next couple months.
Okay, it's a pretty broad-ranging motion involving outreach to the theme parks, bus rider display boards, things that would promote a better customer experience, coffee kiosks, Wi-Fi, and you see no problem in going forth and getting us a report on those?
The number of options to address almost all of them, and the answer is no.
And focus on the tap signage as well.
Okay. Mr. Walsh.
You didn't hear the bus riders union use the word transit racism. She's about to go. She has a car, incidentally. She owns a car. And she's paid $35,000 a year by Eric to come here. Okay. First of all, theme parks? Are you kidding? Look at your profile of the average bus rider. More than half don't even have a bank account. Not a bank account. Countdown timer? Good idea. Recommend enhanced system signage. Look, we don't need more signage. We need service, not signage. And talk about, you're trying to get white people to use the system. You know, I used to integrate the buses. I now integrate the trains. There's only 3 or 4% of us on the trains. It's for minority people. It's for the poor. Coffee kiosks. And I can't believe Wi-Fi. What percent? That's what they have up in San Francisco. Provide an update on purchasing Fair Media. Forget about it. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. We had a motion and a second with no objection. This item will be passed unanimously. Next item, CEO's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quickly, there's been some discussion about reallocating some of the 1A bond money. That's to be used for high-speed rail connectors in L.A. That's the regional connector, reallocating some of those funds to other high-speed rail projects. We're going to be monitoring this carefully in the event any threat to the funding of the connector materializes. We will immediately come to the board and obviously mobilize in opposition. With that, I'll conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy, which brings us to oral comment. John Walsh.
You know, the racism involved in high-speed rail makes you look, everybody up here look like Malcolm X. That's how racist high-speed rail is. I hope you're wondering, some of you might not have been here, here's Arnold Sachs being arrested yesterday in Long Beach. It appears to be Arnold Sachs, so I guess he's not going to be here. We're still asking a simple question. There was a murder at the Hollywood Vine station. Have there been any indictments? What happened to the man you arrested, Mr. Sim? The LA Times isn't doing any stories, and as long as they don't do any stories, you're not going to react. Maybe I'll get another story in the New York Times. You saw what happened last time I got a story about how they cut off Watts from Beverly Hills. You immediately suspended all bus cuts. Immediately. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. With no other public comment, I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Discussion.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
What a slow ass.
Come on, man. Look at all that stuff. Hey.